welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hey, Dan Olds here today with Henry Newman. Rich isn't here, Henry. What's the deal?
You know, the guy's taking vacation constantly. You guys complain about me, but Rich is the real culprit here.
Still you. You're still the real culprit.
Okay.
You're going on what? How many hours of sleep have you had in the last 48?
About six. I just got back from an overseas trip. I've been up for 28 hours and 4 minutes now, Dan.
Business class flying or economy?
Economy, Dan.
That's not good quality. Did you get any sleep at all?
Not at all, Dan.
How come?
Because I was working, preparing for this call. I wanted to get everything right.
And that's the thing, is that Henry, even though he is sleep deprived, wanted to do this episode so badly because he is as upset as he's been in the last 15 years.
I think it's a little even more than that, Dan. This could be a career upsetness.
So we have a topic that has upset you so much that you stayed up 28 hours straight in order to record this thing before you collapse into unconsciousness. So let's get to the topic. What is it? It's Amazon Glacier.
And Dan, it's not a glacier. Glaciers are going to melt. I think we all know that. And they are melting now. And I think the Amazon Glacier is ripe for failure.
It's going to melt under the intense white-hot heat of 1,000 exploding suns. That is your anger?
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
I don't want to use hyperbole or anything.
Okay.
I don't want to go overly flowery or anything on us. So, okay, let's talk about what this is. Basically, this announcement just came out, and Amazon is pitching long-term archive storage. To me, it looks like they're making a pitch directly at tape. In fact, well, they've said as much, and I'll show that in the video and some of the claims. Top line, it's a penny a gigabyte a month for long-term archive.
Yeah, we've had this tape is dead conversation at least once or twice on our calls already.
Yeah, and we've concluded that tape isn't dead, but Amazon wants to kill it.
Yeah, I mean, and some of their claims with, you know, exceed the marketing claims of any of the vendors in any communities I've ever seen. It's incredible. We're saying we've got 11 nines of durability. Oh, by the way, Dan, what does durability mean for a file or data?
Well, and also the 1 penny, 1 cent per gigabyte per month, $10, 24 cents per terabyte per month, up until you have to retrieve it. Then it gets real complicated. But let's walk through this. What do you want to start with? You want to start with the cost? You want to start with availability?
Let's start with a few facts. First of all, the 11.9 claim, do you have a definition of durability? I mean, I know what durability is for blue jeans. Do you have a definition for durability for data?
That's the word that I stumbled on too. What the hell is durability? They're not saying integrity. They're not saying that each one of your files is guaranteed at 11 nines.
No, I think what they're saying, and who knows, but my guess at what they're saying is if you can get to your data, then they've done enough checksumming that it is what you put in is what you get out. But here's a question it just popped into my head, Dan, and I didn't even think of till just now, is how do you know what's on your system is what got into Amazon and you didn't get a silent corruption on your system before you put it into Amazon? You don't know that either.
No, you don't know that.
There's no end-to-end framework for doing this. So anyway, I kind of just did a little quick table, which you can show the people listening out in the audiences. You know, so you got a petabyte of data, and you got 11 nines. And what does 11.9 get you for a petabyte? Well, it's not 100% reliability, Dan. You're still going to lose 11,259 bytes.
Okay.
Well, if you got 50, yeah.
And by the way, we don't know over what time period. We're assuming that they mean infinity. But they could be meaning over the course of a year, 2 years, whatever.
Or could be overnight.
Could be.
Don't know. Well, is that 11,259 bytes? Is you're going to lose that in one file? You're going to lose that in 11,259 files. You lose one byte in, you know, the wrong place in a file, the file's useless.
All the rest of the file is useless.
Oh, yeah. The whole file
could be much bigger.
The whole file could be useless depending on where you lose it in. You lose it in the wrong place in the header, you don't know what you got.
Good point.
So, I mean, the other question I had is it, you know, that I was thinking about when on the plane that sort of got me spun up. And I didn't, by the way, have any coffee or tea or any caffeine on the plane.
You're just being fueled by rage.
Pretty much.
Is that what we're saying?
Pretty much.
Rage and outrage.
Yes, outrage.
I like that. That's a heady mix. You got to ride that edge as long as you can.
Yeah, probably.
Excellent.
So when we look at file sizes in most systems, you're looking at things that are file sizes, you know, in Microsoft or other places when you're typing LS, you can get it in kilobytes, K-I-L, or megabytes, M-I-B, 1024 times 1024 kind of thing, or 1024. Are they doing 1,000? Are they doing 1024s? It's unclear. And there gets to be a big difference, especially if you hit the retrieval rate wrong. And you don't if the retrieval rate is in, you know, 1024s or in the data's in thousands or vice versa. This
it makes a difference once you start talking about petabytes and terabytes and petabytes. And actually, I'll put your chart in from that, too.
And it also gets into a big issue given their pricing model for retrieval. Let's say I have just a few terabytes, you know, of my home PC, and I want to get it back for free. And they said you can get 0.17% of your data back for free. So if I have 6 terabytes like I have at home, just on my NAS box, I'm not going to get my data back for 589 days.
If you want it for free,
it
gets a bit more complicated than that even, because the amount that, like you said, the big picture claim here, let's back up. The big picture claim is that you can get 5% of your data back per month for free. No big deal. And you can upload as much as you want for free. Great. But that 5% is prorated daily, which is what is giving you the 0.17% or 0.0017. That's the amount of data you can get back any given day for free. And how much you are going to pay for the rest is based on a chart that they have with a sliding scale, but it starts at about 12 cents a gigabyte.
Right. But if you start to exceed that, your bandwidth number.
Once you exceed your 0.017 per day, yes.
Right, and if you exceed the bandwidth that they want you to get for your data to get back, or you get too many files back, it can get pretty ugly pretty quickly. Financially.
I've seen some of the examples in the comments to the articles. We're going to put some of these articles up here, too. And be sure when you're reading these to look into the comments section, because some people have done the math and come up with some wildly varying numbers that all look like it's an open question as to what you pay.
And what bothers me so much about this, I mean, and there are plenty more things I'm gonna bring up, Dan, before I go to sleep. And what bothers me about this is, if you look at it from, you know, the other online home internet backup providers, the ones you've heard of, Mozy, Carbonite Code 42, you know, all of those guys.
Well, and I think Microsoft is offering something along these lines.
Everybody's got something. Really, really cheap until you need to bring your data back. And
yes.
People could get sucked into this unknowingly because people who are in the industry are going to look at this and go, you got to be kidding, and run away. Whereas you know, your average home user who Amazon, you're on Amazon buying some toilet paper or some new underwear or whatever you're buying at Amazon, and they show this ad for it, it looks really good. Your average person is not going to run the numbers and then realize, oh my gosh, my system crashed, and it's going to take me 2 years to get my data back at any reasonable cost.
If you want it for free.
Well,
now this isn't. Do you think this is aimed at consumers?
I actually do, because smart people would run.
I mean, well, if you have, I don't know, what's the average consumer backup for a PC? Maybe 50 gigabytes?
No. Not in this day and age, I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. All the digital media and all that kind of stuff.
All the photos, all the in Amazon cloud data. This is all about their cloud. You know, it's about backing up all your data, all your music, all your photos. That's what I think. I truly believe that.
I think it's aimed at small business, too. I mean, they put a definite stake in the ground with their quote, which I'll show up on the screen, about people getting rid of tape.
Right. And I, if I were a small business, I'd be, you know, I would not want to deal with tape. Tape is not really designed structurally, in my opinion, right now for small business. It's the underlying software frameworks to operate tape are just too difficult right now.
And I would argue that most small businesses these days don't have any tape.
And I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, the quick 150s are dead, Dan.
Yes. Unless they're a highly specialized niche kind of business that has needs for massive archives.
Correct. You know, maybe...
But that's very much a corner case.
Yep. It's very much a corner case.
So they're aiming then consumers and small business. And I love the free crack that the uploads are free. You can upload as much as you want, as often as you want, and it's all free. Yay.
Yeah. The thing is, they suck you in for your second or third copy, whether it's small business or big business, it's free. But then when you want to get to it, it's very hard to manage your bandwidth in their environment so you can have a reasonable cost. What if you upgrade your network? You go buy a DOCSIS 3 modem and you figure, oh, well, I had a DOCSIS 2 modem so I can only do this many megabits, and then the cable company upgrades you and all of a sudden you get a bill for $250, $300, $400, $500, $1,000 to bring back your couple terabytes of data.
The other thing is, how fast can Amazon or will Amazon serve this up?
Unknown. But here, yeah. Going back to the durability thing.
I don't know that their speed is going to match your maximum download speed. In fact, I'm pretty damn sure it won't.
Don't know. There's just no data. It's all marketing fluff. What upset me so much is, it's one thing to say we want to kill tape, but then those vendors who have said that actually have put a stake in the ground that's real and don't make absurd 11.9s of reliability without some data behind it. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, and you've got the chart in front of you, Dan, is just to look at the hard error rate in bits. And this is basically, it says, if I read this many bits from this drive type, I'm going to get one sector I can't read. And these are numbers that are on the websites of the various hardware vendors, so for the disk drive vendors, for the SSD vendors, for the LTO vendors, for the enterprise tape vendors. And the numbers basically show that if you read 10 to the 14th bits on consumer SATA, which is, by the way, not a lot of data in terms of petabytes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's in the terabytes. It's point.
Was it 10 terabytes?
Yeah, it's actually 11.
11 terabytes, okay.
Yeah. You're going to get one drive that falls out, one sector that falls out. Now, in the RAID world, they'll just rebuild that drive.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just shoot the drive and they'll start a rebuild. Well, the RAID vendors don't use consumer products. What you can theoretically do is say, oh, well, the drive's okay, I just can't read the one sector. And then you got to go find out what was at that sector, and then you got to go make sure that you've got a duplicate copy of that sector somewhere else. Or you just lost data. How many copies do you have to have with various drive types to meet your integrity requirements, and how fast do you have to replicate? You got to have some big pipes. Unless all this data is in one computer room, and then, oops, you know, the sprinkler error and everything goes bye-bye. So if you're going to be replicating all this data across a WAN, the number of failures and the amount of data you're going to have to deal with is pretty significant. And this is no different than what's happening with Hadoop and other things that are running these kinds of cheap drives. And that's why everybody who's doing this kind of stuff is replicating
three times,
and it's all local.
You can't do that over the net.
You don't have. Well,
you can do it once.
But the failure rate of the drives, and when you get into these large configurations into 5, 10, 15 petabytes, you don't have the network capability. Nobody does. It's horrible.
That's one of the things I investigated a little bit with what you can get from Amazon. You can pay an extra $200 a month and get a gigabit connection to them. Or another 1600 a month for 10 gigabits.
All right, there.
Theoretical max.
1600 a month, 10 gigabits. Okay. What are you going to get over the WAN? You know, what's your theoretical going to be? So 10 gigabits comes up to about 800 megabytes a second.
75 gig a minute theoretical peak is what I figured out versus 7.5 gigabytes a minute theoretical peak for the 1 gigabit.
But again,
theoretical peak.
But a lot of it has to do with what you theoretical peak. What are you really going to get? What's their TCP windowing? How much are they going to really give you the 10? And I'd love to benchmark that. This all reminds me of that commercial from the 70s. Where's the beef? I mean, to claim that number of nines, which I've never heard anyone claim anything.
I've never seen that. Even fault tolerant systems, the best from the fault tolerant guys, the exotic stuff, never claimed that.
It's
5 or 6 is the highest I've ever seen.
And that's why I haven't had any sleep, because my fear is that not people in our community, because they're going to laugh at this, but this is just unconscionable to do to the average user who doesn't really understand what they're asking, what they're saying, and what you're getting.
You know, you're thinking this is going to consumers, and I agree with that, but I think that there's going to be a number of enterprises that are going to investigate this too. Probably not the large ones, but you got to remember the typical executive who might be reading about this online or on a plane like you did, and is going to say, hey, you know what? We spend a lot in storage. Penny a gigabyte. Huh, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah,
and 11 nines, that's better than we can do.
And especially the businesses that don't have a lot of IT skill sets, even the bigger ones. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dan. And what's going to happen is Amazon is, this is their play to take the data away from the large storage vendors and control it. And
once you're in, this is somewhat Roach Motel-like. Once you're in, how the hell do you get out?
Another 70s commercial.
Right?
Yes. I remember that one, too.
I mean, you've got your stuff up there, and you can transfer it among their domains for free, but taking it out, you're looking at the, if you want to do it for free, you're looking at the 0.17% per day, which takes a long time to get to 100%, or you're looking at paying for it. And if you're trying to do it quickly, paying a lot.
By the way, someone sent me an email because I had sent a couple rants out to some friends of mine and said, is this the same company who's had some downtime in the last couple months?
Highly publicized downtime, yes.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I mean, they've all had problems with that. There's a great case for offsite storage, but I don't think that there's a great case for cloud storage as it's configured from Amazon. And actually, I'm a big fan of Amazon's. I'm a big customer of Amazon's. I would expect better.
I know you are, Dan. It's, so am I. I don't know if I will be, because the weasel word of durability really set me off. It really did.
It's very concerning, and this is different than how they presented their cloud compute. yeah, with the S2 stuff.
They're really going to, you know, going to the mat with the lowest common denominator. Really, this is kind of slimy.
You really dislike this. It is a bit slimy, yeah. And again, I expected better from Amazon.
As did I. And historically, they have been better. My other fear, Dan, is we're going to have a one-upmanship in the industry. You know, somebody will claim, well, I can do 12 nines. And then, you know, pretty soon we'll be up at 100 nines. And it has that feel to it.
There's someone out there right now putting together PowerPoint about only 11 nines. Is 11 nines really enough for you? We're offering 14 nines.
Yeah, especially when you put up my little chart on what 11 nines really means in terms of byte of, you know, of data integrity for a petabyte.
But then again, we're talking consumer and small business. They're not going to have those kind of numbers.
But it's aggregate, Dan.
What do you mean by that?
So let's say...
Oh, for everybody.
So if you have 100 consumers with each with, you know, 10 terabytes... Somebody, somewhere in that petabyte of data, you're going to have 11,259 bytes go poof. Whose is it?
Well, I can tell you based on experience and research, mine. The other thing that's interesting, getting back to the cost point, I reached out to an executive at a tape library company that I know. And he came back with and said that even at a penny a gigabyte, it's still about 3x the cost of an LTO5-based tape library and about 5x the cost of LTO6.
Because I also ran the pricing on disk drives and things like that. Their pricing model depends on people having to get their data back and charging them for it. If this thing won't work if people just upload and they don't download.
Yeah, I think you're right. What do you think they're using? You think they're using disk or tape? I've seen some speculation out there.
The speculation I saw was that they're using their old equipment.
Their old disk?
Yeah. I mean, that was what, in the Wired magazine article, that was the speculation. I have no idea. I don't think they're using tape. They're dissing tape too much. They're not using tape.
You could be right, and that, by the way, that's the other thing to bring out to the people listening here, is that your access isn't instantaneous either. It's 3 to 4 hours or maybe more until you can get it for retrieval purposes.
Let's see, how long would it take with tape? Well, even if the system's busy and you queue up some stuff, it's going to be a little quicker in 3 to 4 hours.
Well, no, I mean, it's
no, but,
if I read this right, it's 3 to 4 hours before you can even access it.
Let's say you did an HSM in the cloud. You get your data back from tape, hierarchical storage management using tape, you get it back way quicker than 3 to 4 hours. I mean, there's some people doing tape in the cloud. There's the Crossroads. There's, I think, Fujifilm has a PermiVault. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with people using tape in the cloud.
So let's make a prediction here. Is this going to be successful or not?
I think Amazon can get enough. They have enough clout to get enough people to buy enough stuff. And they're going to get sucked in. They're going to have to get their American Express Centurion card out to get their data back.
I think you're probably right. They've got enough brand equity. There's enough trust in them that they'll suck in a pretty good number of consumers, probably. But I would hope that enterprise would take a closer look at it.
Well, one of two things is going to happen, I think, from a sales marketing point of view. Either somebody is going to start to one-up them, the smaller players that aren't Amazon, you know, the standard home consumers, SMB backups vendors that we talked about, or some of the big storage vendors are going to have to take them on because this is nuts. And I'm still worked up about this. I might not get to sleep for another 4 hours.
Interesting stuff, though.
Well, depends on your definition. Interesting. It was upsetting stuff.
It's fun to see you enraged, too. And I'm assuming you've got an article coming out on this.
I do.
We'll put a link up to that. I think that this podcast will be public after the article.
Possibly.
But we will definitely link to it.
I don't think we're done with this one, Dan.
No. I think this is going to be a gift that keeps on giving from a tracking and analysis standpoint.
Correct, because there are many HPC sites who want to get out of the HSM world for some of the reasons you talked about, because some CIO says, well, you know, all these cloud vendors can do it better than we can and cheaper, and I don't see it working. And I predict it will not be but a few weeks from now that somebody's going to, you know, shoot a shot across Amazon's bow, whether it's the other online backup players or some of the big storage players or a tape vendor. TBD. Stay tuned, as they say.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.